In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving week. We are beginning this beautiful making time. What's the image that comes to our mind when we think of a king or a queen? Some ideas? An image that comes to your mind?
Power.
Mm-hmm.
Power.
Thank you. Something else?
Crown.
Crown?
Crown.
Incredible crowns, full of precious jewels, scepters, luxurious cars, incredible palaces, prestige, and surely many magazine covers in this time. In the times of Jesus, kings were not only powerful people, but they even had a divine character. Kings were sons of the gods in general. Caesar, for example, was almost a demigod who ruled over all people without any human right to stop his will. Kings dominated, ruled, snatched, did whatever they needed to do to retain their power. Surrounded by luxurious comforts, by protocols, honors, the kings were people totally distant from the reality of their people. The kings of Israel were messianic figures who were believed to have been sent by God to free Israel from its oppressors. But even the King David or Solomon, who are two of Israel's best kings, they had episodes in which they committed many abuses against their people. And now we are celebrating Jesus as King. I think that Jesus could hardly be confused with a king. It is difficult to confuse Jesus with a king. If you imagine the historical Jesus, he definitely had a charismatic image. But he came from a poor town. He was the son of an artisan and a woman who conceived him before they were married. That's the information that Jesus' neighbors had. They didn't know the other fact about the human, about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not surrounded by nobles who acclaimed his name, God save the King. But his followers were fishermen, prostitutes, beggars, tax collectors, and some Pharisees too, and liberals. The fact that they call Jesus King in this passage of the Holy Scripture is not because they really consider him as such, as a king, but as a mockery towards him and towards the people of Israel. In this passage today, Jesus has a criminal with his right hand and his left hand. And we can understand the superlative degree of mockery of placing a sign with the words King on a man surrounded by criminals. Is he the king of criminals? Is he the king of all those who do not adapt to the rules of good coexistence of society? The Gospel of Luke today simply says that they were two criminals, which is not a good word. But Mark and Matthew are more specific. They were two thieves. to people who dedicate themselves to taking what belongs to others. It was understandable that no one wanted people who hurt others. Perhaps their life was detestable to other Jews, and finally their livestone, in this case, their death, were irrelevant to the power of the Roman Empire and to the religious leaders. Luke is an evangelist who shows a recurring interest in talking about conversions. People who are not only healed, but who, thanks to their encounter with Christ, with His love, give a radical turn to their lives. And this passage is no exception. One of the thieves crucified next to Jesus realizes who is next to him. Jesus is next to him. A human being who radiates so much goodness and nobility that he cannot be an evildoer. There was something special about that man who was suffering the same sentence than the criminals. While all the people rebuked Jesus with countless mockery, the good thief, as this man is known, defends Jesus, acknowledges his innocence, and asks Jesus, the innocent, a request that only can arise from faith and perhaps from the despair that arises when there is nothing left to lose. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The good thief asks Jesus to remember him when he returns with his kingdom, something future, something we know that will happen, but we don't know when it will happen. And what is Jesus' answer? I truly tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus changes. Kingdom for something else. For paradise. Jesus does not speak to this man about the kingdom to come in the future, but promises to be with him that very day in paradise. Jesus does not make political campaign promises that may not be fulfilled, but makes a declaration. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We are at the end of this liturgical year, and it's a good moment to think about it, about the paradise too. This place, the paradise, was for the youth, the place where the souls of the righteous would go after death. But this term also refers to the beautiful gardens that monarchs had around their palaces and in which they took walks with those people they loved or people they wanted to honor. Well, Jesus promises to give this thief a place of honor, to walk with him, to reestablish friendship with him. Jesus, the King, who is not a king like those of this world, dedicates one of his last words to a thief whose life was irrelevant to the powerful of this world. Because for Christ, there is not a single life that is insignificant. He cares for each person, each one of his beloved sons and daughters. Our life, your life, is so important for Jesus. We are precious for him. And today we see Jesus with a crown of thorns, not a crown of gold and diamonds. Today we see Jesus not seated on a beautiful, amazing throne, but on a cross. Today we do not see Jesus carrying a scepter of power, but with his hands wide open, naked, in absolute vulnerability, That's the image of the King whom we adore. There is the image.
Well, this is based in the Gospel according to John, with Mary and the beloved disciple. In this reading, there is Jesus with two thieves. There is space for them too. And this is Jesus from the cross.
Today, Jesus, the King who reigns from a cross, reminds us once again, as Christians, we cannot forget the despised of society, the forgotten, relegated, those who do not smell of expensive perfumes, those that no one would invite to celebrate Thanksgiving. And Jesus also reminds us that even if we are going through moments of difficulty, there must always be a moment to practice the gospel of tenderness, charity, and give comfort to those who are not having a good time, as the good thief did, as Jesus did in this passage. Today, Jesus reminds us that his throne is the cross, that his power, the power of Christians, is forgiveness, and his reign, his kingdom, is love in our hearts. Today, Jesus reminds us that this kingdom, in this kingdom, they are not excluded, that all are received, that forgiveness is for everyone, and that even if we lose our lives, there is nothing to lose, because he is there. The King is waiting for us to one day walk together in his garden, his paradise. And that one day, all creation will see this kingdom, his kingdom manifest. That one day, all these earthly things will pass away, and that our eyes will contemplate the glory of God. Something that, well, like John in Patmos, he was able to contemplate, and that he shared with us when he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'"